Good morning and welcome to the presence, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in. Are you ready to rejoice? Anybody glad in here? Hallelujah. Well, thank you. Thank you. The Lord is good. Has the Lord been good to you? Been good to me as well. Welcome those of you watching live stream or on our Facebook page. Soon to be. We're working on YouTube. We'll get there. And but welcome those of you in house, and if you're watching, stand on your feet, get off that couch, and let's praise the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet. Look at somebody, say, I'm ready to praise the Lord. How about you? Hallelujah. Got away from my bass player. Here we go. Look at somebody say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh. This is the day. Come on, say it. Supernatural praise. There.
So my heart. Oh my soul,
say
all
Oh, my soul. Say,
all that I am will praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
Say, all that I am will praise.
Bless the Lord.
Give him a praise. Give him a hallelujah praise. Oh, we praise your name. This is my desire. To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. on, worship the Lord right there. We worship you, God. We worship you. Hallelujah. Yeah. We honor you in this place, oh God. This is our desire. Every breath, every moment. Lord, have your way in me. Say, Lord, I give you my heart. Come on, give it to him.
Lord.
On this in a while, but this is on my heart.
And I'm desperate for you.
Daily bread.
And I say, and I.
lost without you, God. I'm lost without you. Are you desperate for the Lord? Come on. Say that one more time.
Merciful Savior, thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for waking us this morning, Father. We're lost without you, Father. We need you this morning, O Lord. Thank you, Father, that your grace and mercy watched over us through the night. And you awakened us this morning, allowing us to come together in fellowship with you, O God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for there is none like you. Thank you, O God. We give you, we praise your name, Father. Thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands, Father. And we thank you, O God. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, O God. Bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, O God. Bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, O God. Bless your holy name, O God. Father, we come before you with bowed heads and heavy hearts, some of us this morning. Father, we just thank you for your grace and mercy, O Lord. Many of us are still grieving over the loss of loved ones, Father.
Yes.
But, Father, we know your peace that passes all of our earthly understanding, that we can rest on you and in your promises, that those who believe on you, that we will go that way. But you are our Savior, Father. Thank you, O God. And thank you, Father, for healing us, O Lord. Father, I just ask you to look in on the congregation this morning, O Lord. Some of us are in need of healing in our bodies, Father. Father, I just ask you to touch each one by one, and touch us as one, Father. Father, we have prayer requests, Father, but you know who they are, Father. So, Father, we're just standing on the wall for these, for our congregation, those who are in need of healing, Father. But, Father, there is good news, because we have good news of a healing of a young man this morning, Father. Thank you, Father, for the prayer warriors that stood on the wall and prayed for this young man, Father. Continue to give us strength, Father, and remind us, Father, that is you, like your Lord. And, Father, you said that we could come boldly before you, O God. So, Father, I just ask you to knit this congregation together, O Lord. Father, you know all about us. Prepare our hearts and minds to receive the people, Father. Father, we just thank you for your grace and mercy this day. Now, Father, I just ask you to bless our pastor, O Lord, the word that comes forth. Anoint it, O Lord, that it may be food for our souls, that we may grow in you and rest in you on your promises. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's do our affirmation prayer together. You don't know it by heart, then you can read it on the screen. Here we go together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise.
Well, good morning. Is everyone enjoying the worship service this morning? You may go ahead and be seated. You know that I was thinking back through the years of being here, that song, Lord, I Give You My Heart. We've sang that for years. It's always been my favorite. And I know my favorite part of that song has always been every breath that I take. I love that part. And sometimes, you know what, that was always my favorite line. I kind of look back and it kind of changes sometimes. And now, you know, sometimes you have all the breath to give and you're in the worship. And then sometimes that line sticks out, all I have that is within me, I give you praise. And sometimes it feels like we don't have a lot to give, but we can still give what little we have, and He honors that and loves every bit of it. So I wonder if we could just take a moment, whether you're full of breath and praise this morning, or if you feel like, man, I don't feel like I have a lot, but all that you have, let's just raise our hands one more time. Father, we love you this morning. We just thank you. Everything within us that we have, we give to you today. We are so thankful that we could walk and enter into your house and give you the praise that you so deserve this morning. We're just thankful for another day to be here in your presence, at the presence in Owosso, and we give you praise. Let's give them one more hand clap. Father, we love you today. And we are so honored to have all of you here in-house and all of those that are online watching and joining us this morning from afar. Thank you so much for being with us. Is there anyone here at your very first time, never been here before? Okay, so all family, all friends, I want you to take a moment, find two or three people, greet them, give them a big hug, give them a big fist bump. We are so honored to have you. You guys look amazing today. Love seeing all these youth, all the kids this morning with us. If you're online watching and there's kids with parents, parents, give your kids a hug. Kids, give your parents. Here's mine. Come here, baby. This is Mr. Evan. Say good morning to everyone. And as everyone is, they're returning their seats, we want to let our children, our presence kids, if you will stand, if you will make your way to the back, we will dismiss our presence kids this morning. Can we give them a hand? Yes. Good to have my niece and nephew. I should say nieces. I consider her daughter usually, so I call her my daughter, Miss Kiri. All right. Would you guys take a moment and would you honor and welcome our pastor, Alvin Frugé?
There it is. One, two.
Look at the person next to you and say, hey. Say, it's good. It's good to see you today. It's good to see you. I noticed one thing for sure when during worship that, Titus, you're still growing. Would you please? Our ceilings are only so high. But it's good to see everybody in the presence of the Lord. How you doing, Paul? All right, start no stuff over there. Don't start no stuff. Thank God for His presence. Thank God for just an awesome day. It's a little warmer today. Just a little bit. Everybody have a good week? Yeah? All right. Y'all aren't really talkative today, are you? Well, I just want to say one thing, and I know that it's going to be announced further at the end of the service, but next Sunday, we are calling it Intercultural Sunday. And I have to say that sometimes things just kind of fit and connect. And Snow and I received a little letter, a note from Sister Lily, really sweet, saying we ought to consider doing an Intercultural Sunday. And at the same time, our Presence Cruisers were planning to, turn that down just a little bit, we're planning to dress in various attire, really African attire, because this month is Black History Month, and so they were going to do that on the 12th. And I said, well, you know what? Let's just put that together, and we're a family. We're blood. We are a multicultural church, and we don't want anybody to feel at all excluded. And we definitely, as I mentioned in a letter to the church, that we fully embrace Black History Month and the history of blacks, not only in this country, but in the world. And so we do honor that. And at the same time, we want to give everyone the opportunity to dress in the culture that they were raised in or feel comfortable with. Some people have multiple cultures. And so, amen. So you can choose what you want. So next Sunday is Intercultural Sunday. I'm coming. I'm coming ready. Guns a-blazing. Not guns, but I encourage everyone. Now listen, if you don't have anything, that's okay. We don't want you to not come to church just because you can't find anything or whatever. We're still having church next Sunday, so come whether you have something to wear or not, all right? But I just wanted to say that it's an awesome opportunity for us to kind of learn something about one another, maybe where others are from, and who knows? We might see a man in a kilt. Lord, help us tomorrow. But we'll just see. But I wanted to mention that, and there are other announcements. I don't really want to get into everything that's happening, you know, like Circle 23 this coming Saturday, you know. All the men said amen. All right, are you ready for the word of the Lord? I said, are you ready for the word of the Lord? Turn with me to Romans. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Lift that Bible up or your phone, whatever you have, flat screen TV, it doesn't matter. And just say this, I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for an awesome time in your presence. Thank you for your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, God, we pray that you would do surgery on us this morning and make the word, your word, come alive in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Everybody say brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And then I want to read another verse in Proverbs 18:24. And it says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than any brother. Be devoted, Romans 12 and 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. I want to use as a subject this morning, who's holding your rope? That's so cool. Everybody just kind of said, huh? Look at somebody and ask them, who's holding your rope? Now, you know, February, as I said earlier, is Black History Month, but also typically in February is because of Valentine's Day on the 14th, we dedicate the month of February to talking about love. And so today I'm going to talk about godly love And more specifically, the value and blessing of having at least one brother, or if you're a woman, a sister, in your life who is willing to hold your rope. Would you look at somebody one more time and ask them, who's holding your rope? So, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I would venture to say that my older brother Willie is responsible for probably at least five or six or so messages, title messages, and we'll just be talking. And you have to kind of, I don't want to go too deep into it, but my brother Willie and I, we just have this relationship. But we'll be talking about something, and he'll just say, make a statement, and he'll say, hey, preach on that. So we were talking the other day, and he called me, and he said, man, my wife, and here's the other thing I want you to understand. There is sort of a friendly war that takes place between me and Willie and his wife and my wife. They kind of got this relationship. You know, it all started when years ago we played Monopoly and they cheated and won. So Willie and I have been holding something against Willie's wife, Sandra, and Sonola for years. But anyway, he calls me up. He's like, man, I'm talking to Sandra. Look, I told Sandra that, he said, I'm telling Alvin. So he calls me to tell me that he told his wife, I'm telling Alvin. And I'm like, look, man, I don't want to get involved in it. Don't get me mixed up in that. And then this is what he says. He said, man, you're my rope holder. That's what he said. And then he said, preach on that. And I said, I think I will. Well, here's the thing. What he was referencing was something in the Old Testament. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. It was the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur. Would go into the Holy of Holies to do sacrifices for sin for the people of Israel. Once a year, would go in to ask and to receive forgiveness on behalf of the children of Israel. Only the high priest. There were other priests, but only the high priest would go in, and they would only go in once a year. Well, now, this is what you will find in the Bible, that the robe that the high priest wore at the ends, at the hem, would have little bells. Okay? Little bells. Now, it's sort of, people don't necessarily know why, but there are a couple of possibilities just so that it was something, you know, sweet to hear, that God would hear, so that God wouldn't kill. So ting, 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 okay, all right, that means the high priest is here, whatever. But then, now this part is not in the Bible. It's just sort of, it's been carried from, but this part is not in the Bible. Is that also they would tie a rope to the high priest, to his ankles or his waist or whatever, as he went in, and that rope would come out of the Holy of Holies, and the other priest would hold on to that rope so that if the bell stopped tingling, they would know that he died in the presence of God, and they would just pull him out, because they couldn't go in or they would be killed. Right now, again, let me just make it clear, because I've looked, and that part of it, the whole rope thing, is really a Jewish sort of a tradition story that has been passed on and people have just accepted it as truth. But in reality, you know, we don't really know. We do know that the high priest's robe had bells, tingle, 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 right? Tinkling, tinkling. And but then there is this other tradition that if the bells stopped, they would pull that brother out. And so that's what my brother was making reference to when he said, man, you're my rope holder. You need to pull me out of this if I... All right? Well, it's an interesting concept, but, you know, there are other examples. I mean, rock climbers. Listen, if you're in some quicksand, you need somebody to pull you out. I'm watching this... this show that my brothers told me about called it's called Special Forces, the Toughest Test or something like that. And in that show, they do this thing. Y'all ready? Ready to show that? I want you to see it. And turn it up so that they can hear the commentary. It's before you make sure that it's really good so they can hear. All right, watch this. Start it again. Start it again because we don't have sound. They got to hear what they're saying. All right.
Ropes are lifeblood in the special operations community. We use ropes in mountain warfare, and to navigate this territory at speed, we rappel down cliff faces. Our most important asset is our rope buddy.
Take the string!
Yeah.
In this exercise, they control the speed of the descent, and most importantly, they must break my fall. You have to trust that person.
Stand by!
For the brakeman task, your life will be in your oppo's hand, or his life will be in yours.
All right, good.
Ropes
good.
Are
all right. So the whole, thank you. How many of y'all would let somebody hold your? See, well, I don't know if you caught what he said. He said that you need a rope buddy. Need a rope buddy. You need somebody who you're willing to put, you know, your life in their hands, literally, right? Now, I know this goes a little bit deeper than, quote unquote, brotherly love, but here's what's so important. You need at least a couple of people in your life that are going to love you and support you, and if you get in trouble, pull you out. Now, just a couple of things. I mean, the obvious is, you know, I hear the question. I was asking sort of this question when I was studying. Can your rope buddy be your spouse? And there... I would say yes and no, because as a man, there are some things that my wife can pull me out of and support me. She's my helpmate. But then there are some man things, right, that she just can't address. And so you need, if you're married, you need both. And the other thing that's really obvious is that a man wouldn't have a rope buddy that's a female, and a female wouldn't have a... Okay, so let's get that straight. And I just thought of this one. This is kind of funny. If you're married, your rope buddy ain't your mom either. Men. All right. So anyway, but there are times in your life when you need someone to catch you before you fall, or help pull you out of something. I'm talking about someone who knows, who you know always has your back. There's a phrase that my children use. They say ride or die, right? I think that came from Bad Boys, I think, movie. But someone who's going to ride or die with you. We ride together, we die together, you know. Someone you know you could call at 3 a.m. in the morning and they will answer. Now, I have to say to you that I have an older sister, Janice, older brother, Willie, myself, and then there's Dijon, the youngest. And I have a different relationship with all of them. And there's a relationship I have with Willie that just, I don't even know how to explain it. And listen to this. He just happens to be my brother. But it's not always a relative. I would venture to say a lot of times it probably isn't. But who knows? Because here's the other thing. That type of relationship, you don't start. It's not up to you. It's something that God just does. And I can't explain it. But there's a connection that he and I have that's just... And that's what he meant when he said, man, you're my rope holder. And I get it. You need somebody in your life who will talk you down off of a ledge. Encourage you. But also tell you the truth. I know I've mentioned this many times. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus had 12 disciples. He had 12 disciples. But he was really only intimate and close with three. And out of those three, it was John that he loved the most. Think about that. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was getting ready to... His last breath, he looks at John. He says, and it then points to his mother. Mother, your son. Son, your daughter. Jesus had brothers and sisters. He wasn't leaving his mom in the care of any of his siblings. Yeah, babe, Shannon, that'll preach right there. So he had a relationship with John that he didn't have with the other 11 disciples. Something just clicked. Something just happened. And my point today is you need that type of a friend. Not the type of a friend that's going to enable your sin, but somebody that's going to look at you and say, look, what in the world is wrong with you? Not you, you. You have lost your ever loving mind. Come on, let's go have a talk. Let's go. Somebody's going to be honest with you. So now, I'm going to talk about David and Jonathan here for a minute. I usually don't do this, but I found an article by a woman named Christy Walker on BibleStudyTools.com. I use Bible Study Tools quite a bit. But she did such an awesome job in sort of laying out the relationship of David and Jonathan. So I just want to read portions of it, and I definitely want to give credit that this is an article by Christy Walker on BibleStudyTools.com. It says, David was a shepherd. Jonathan was a prince. Jonathan had his own armor. David had a harp and a slingshot. Jonathan grew up in the palace and was trained in the art of war. Yeah, Jonathan was a warrior. David grew up in the little town of Bethlehem and was trained to tend sheep. Jonathan was the oldest son and in line to inherit the throne. David was the youngest of 8 boys and anointed the next king in place of Jonathan. Jonathan was of the tribe of Benjamin, David of the tribe of Judah. Despite their differences, they were arguably the best friends the world has ever known. Jonathan, already a great man of war, likely met the young David in the palace on one of the many occasions that David was called upon to play the harp or lyre for the emotionally tormented King Saul. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. Their friendship began, though, soon after David slew Goliath. Would you turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter? 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Come on, look at somebody one more time and say, who's holding your rope? 1 Samuel 17, verse 57. 1 Samuel 17, verse 57. So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. So David walks in. Now he's like 16 years. He walks in to the palace carrying the head of Goliath. Ew. Look at 18, chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Now remember that, loved him as himself. Now, I want you to just think, I'm going to continue reading, but just think of this young guy who, up until that point, Jonathan really only knows him as a musician. And he walks into the palace holding the head of a warrior, slain warrior. And Jonathan looks at that and he said, this guy has got it going on. He's not only a musician, but he can fight too. So that got Jonathan's attention because he's a warrior. Now let me continue reading. Imagine Jonathan's first impressions of the young musician / giant slayer, warrior by day, songwriter by night. It isn't often in life that your hero is younger than you, but this was the case for Jonathan. David, after killing Goliath, was a hero. He could soothe the king, defeat the enemy, and cause the ladies to swoon. Jonathan and David came from very different backgrounds, but they had a few things in common. They were both warriors. They were men of faith who served the living God. They were provided with God-given courage and strength, and they needed each other. They became fast friends and sealed their friendship with an oath. Look at 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Let me just read verse 1 again. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Now look at 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, 1 Samuel 20, verse 42. Jonathan said to David, go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord will be between me and you and between my descendants and your descendants forever. Then he rose and departed while Jonathan went into the city. It was typical practice for those who had that type of an agreement would cut covenant together. They were covenant brothers. They were covenant brothers. Now, we know a few other things. Continuing to read this article, we know a few other things from the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. We know that David married Jonathan's sister. Michael and became Jonathan's brother-in-law. So not only were they close rope holding buddies, but they were also that was also his brother-in-law. Jonathan ended up protecting David and saving his life when he was running from Saul. David was chosen by God and appointed to replace Saul as king of Israel instead of Jonathan. Now, you would think Jonathan would be like, you know, I'm next in line, bruh. And still, Jonathan loved David. Only a true friend could make the statement that Jonathan made in 1 Samuel 23 and 17. He said, "You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." I'm just remembering something my brother Willie said to me some years ago. He said, man, now he's, sweetheart, how many years older than me? Four? Huh? Three or four. He said, man, I want you to be my mentor. And in many ways, he's mine. But I've been in the ministry space and music space a lot longer than he has. And he plays and he sings and he's playing somewhere at a church this morning. And so he often asks for advice and things of that nature. But here's David. I mean, a teenager. And Jonathan is much older than he is. And he's saying, you would be better on the throne than me. I'll be your second. I got your back. When Jonathan died, in his honor, David cared for Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was lame in both feet. And he ate at David's table. Like one of the king's sons. That's in 2 Samuel 9:11. This was a genuine, godly friendship orchestrated by God. If you have one or a couple like that, you're truly blessed. If you don't, pray for somebody. Pray for God to orchestrate that for you. It's nothing that you have to. The last thing you want to do is try to make it happen. It just happens. But I just felt to kind of lay this out as we're talking about love, because there are different types of love. I can truly say that I have a few in that category. And I don't want to start naming people because then somebody will say, you didn't name me. But I would say that there are levels of friendship and all are important. All are important. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are family. We're blood. So there is a bond. And then there are levels of that. But when you're by yourself, crying in a closet, you need somebody you can call. And here's the beautiful thing about this. Someone who is willing to hold your rope is also willing to allow you to hold theirs. Proverbs 27:17 says it in this way. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And whenever I read these kind of verses, it applies to women as well. Listen, my wife has relationships with various ladies. I tease her about it all the time. But I know that she needs that. She gets something with her relationship with various ladies that she doesn't get from me. And I don't care. Go on, do your thing. Because you know why? She always comes back better. She's better for it. So let me give you four key takeaways to this whole idea of who's holding your rope. Number one, friendship, true friendship is a gift from God. I've said it earlier, God is the one who orchestrates it. And I let me just say this again, the worst thing that you can do is try to make something happen. You'll know when you know. You'll know when you know. Number two, a true friend is true. That's number two. Proverbs 17:7 says, a friend loves at all times. I mean, I'm talking about someone who knows most, if not all, your dirt, but is not fazed by it. Still willing to love you. And support you and to pull you out where you need to be pulled out. So a true friend is true. Number three, a true friend loves you as he or she loves themselves. I mentioned earlier that it said that Jonathan loved David as himself, right? So, and that was in 1 Samuel 8:10-1 that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Jesus said in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then, when he was about to go to the cross, in John, the 13th chapter, verse 34, Jesus took it another step further and said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you shall love one another. So the new commandment says don't love your neighbor as yourself, because the reality is that sometimes you don't love yourself. So then that makes your love for your brother conditional. Jesus said, no, love your neighbor as I have loved you. So in other words, hold your brother's rope in the same way that God is holding yours. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what he was saying to the disciples. Hold your brother's rope in the same way that I've held yours these last 3.5 years. Number four, a true friend helps you find strength in God. A true friend helps you find strength in God. 1 Samuel 23:16 says, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He didn't go to help David to sulk. He didn't go to help David to complain. He didn't go to David to say, yeah, man, I know. Well, maybe he did say that, but ultimately, he helped him to find strength in God. He didn't let David have a pity party. He helped him find strength in God. Ultimately, the goal of any type of friendship of this nature is for both people to get stronger in the Lord. If that's not happening, then it's not a healthy friendship. That was real quiet, but I feel like I need to say that again. The purpose of this type of, the reason God orchestrated this relationship between Jonathan and David is because God knew that David needed that spiritual strength and support that Jonathan was giving, and vice versa. That's the only ultimate goal, is for that person to help you to get stronger in the things of God. It's not to hang out and go party and go drinking and to go feel good, to forget about all your problems. That's not what we're talking about. This type of friendship is going to strengthen you spiritually and bring you closer to God. And sometimes it hurts. You need people in your life that aren't impressed with you. Yeah, I know how good you preach Sunday, but how you living? So, Jonathan helped David find strength in God. Ask God to give you friends or a friend who will help you to find strength in God, because we all need that. We all need it. Almost weekly, I call Willie, or he calls me. And it's so funny. We just start laughing because we know something's getting ready to be fun. Something is getting ready to be funny. But at the same time, we talk about the Lord. It's just a healthy, godly friendship that just happens to be with my brother. And I said it earlier. I have others through the week, and it hits me. Call so and so or text so and so. The men at this church, it's about 20 of us or so, we have this text, what do you call it, text, group text, thread, and I'm telling you, it's refreshing, it's encouraging. You need that type of connection and that type of fellowship. Now, it's 20 of us. We don't get all deep. We just, you know, we just talk about when there's a need, we pray, you know, pray for so-and-so or whatever. But you need those types of things in your life, those types of connections. And really that's what today is about, is to encourage you, if you don't have that, to pray about it, to pray for it. Because no man is an island. Brotherly and sisterly love, as I said earlier, is rooted in the love of Christ. So let me close with these two verses. Are you getting anything out of this today? 1 Thessalonians, I'll read 1 Thessalonians 4, I'll read verse 9 and 10. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still the more. Excel more. And then, as I read Proverbs 18:24 at the beginning, that says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Those two words, friends and friend, have totally different meaning. The first one means companions. but the second one, but there is a friend who sticks closer. That root meaning for that word means godly love. It means love. It's different. It's deeper. So too many companions, a man of too many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend. Ask God to give you that. Someone a friendship that will be rooted in godly love. That sticks closer than a brother. One of mine just happens to be one of my actual brothers. But again, it may not be. I have a few others. Walked in just before service and I saw Will sitting there. We have this thing, he and I. He's one of the first people that I talked to about starting this church. He had lived here for years, him and Rutha. And in addition to that, he knew about this city because he once was the mayor of Owosso. And now I serve as vice mayor, and he's like a proud dad, man. I just tell you, he's my golfing buddy, one of my golfing buddies. And there aren't many weeks that go by where he doesn't call me or I don't call and check on him. And he's having some health challenges, and we continue to pray for God to heal him. So it's just good to see him today. You need people in your life that when you haven't seen them for a while, it could bring you to tears. Because that's when you know that you truly have a love for them. I thank God for every friendship and brother that I have a relationship with in this church. And there's not I look out at, and this is the honest to God truth. I look out in this audience and I see every brother that I see, I got a story. I thought about the video that I showed. Where's Gary? He out in the back. He gonna get mad at me, but I thought about him. I thought about, you know, when they're doing that thing, you know, that rope holder has to stop your fall. And I don't know why I thought about Gary. I don't know why I thought, you know, if I'm there and I'm falling and Gary has the rope, I can see him saying, have y'all ever thought about, while I'm falling, he talking to everybody. Jim Tierney is one of the most faithful brothers he's so faithful. Just love him so much. And Jim, he's usually here in the parking lot. He's usually one of the first ones here. And so, one Sunday, Jim came in late. I'm at the keyboard and he walks in late. And I stop everything. I said, Jim, if you come late one more time, you're fired. He turned all kind of red, man. Dear Gary right there, he heard me. Love is having stories. Let's continue to love one another, and prayerfully God will allow us to hold somebody's rope. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love that you've given us, you've shown us. You are truly the ultimate holder of our ropes. You pull us out. You lift us out of the mire clay. And so, God, we have such an incredible example to follow. God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that they would be able to truly say, I've got somebody that's my rope holder, that'll pull me out when I'm in distress. Lift me up. Because God uses others to support us and to help us. So God, I pray that we would let brotherly love and sisterly love to continue and to abound more and more. Thank you for the example of David and Jonathan. I think of the example of Ruth and who was the Naomi, the bond that they shared. Thank you for friendship. Thank you, Lord, that you are our friend. We are friends of God. So thank you for friendship. Thank you for our church family and the awesome bond that we have. We are believing together, heart and soul. And so I pray that this would be a part of that, that out of the different fellowships that we have, even the activity groups that we are forming, crocheting, and Foodies for Jesus, photography, golf, those who need help with their cell phones, you can do this fellowship group. All of these activity groups will forge relationships and bonds that will last for years to come. I pray that no one in our church family, whether they watch online or not, that no one would feel isolated and feel by themselves. I cannot imagine how David would have survived running from Saul, and he had no one that he could turn to. So God, we thank you that you are our provider of the connections and the relationships that we truly need in our lives. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Good word. Good word. Well, let's give to the Lord this morning. Amen. Sharing our giving. Let's continue to believe God for our new presence home, and as God leads us, we're going to share a little more and maybe encourage us in our giving specifically for that on a particular Sunday coming up here pretty soon. But as we said in our State of the Church address this year, we are going to continue to believe God and believe God for us to increase our savings and the campaign account so that we can possibly make an offer as soon as possible, make some next steps. And so let's continue to believe God for that. Amen? All right. If you have that gift or you're doing it on your phone, however you're doing it, just lift that up right now. And Father, thank you that here at the Presence, we are a blessed people. thank you. The seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and multiplies. Thank you, Lord, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say it again. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So, God, we honor you in our giving this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the awesome blessing of giving and planting seed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see your life was the only gift I left for me to be free? It's amazing with you. I win even at this. Everything's working for my good for a way.
Come on.
He saves the day.
What a beautiful message this morning. Thank you, Pastor Alvin. I was thinking, you know, those godly friends that he sends all my life. I guess you could kind of call me, I was the church baby, really, starting at the time I was 11, and God put so many wonderful people. I was just sitting there reflecting. All the women of the church, it was just, because my parents did not go to church at the time, even though my dad has three brothers that are pastors. He was the one that did not, so a lot of time between living with my dad to my mom, no one went. So people took me in on Sundays and would take me home on Sundays after service. And I just was reflecting back this morning, just really thankful how God puts everyone in your life just as you need. And even one of the wives, the husband, bought me a brand new car off the lot. The only time I will ever do that, depreciated right away, of course. But they put down payments, and then he came back and paid it off for me in the end. And I just look back and I thank God so much for his provision of friends and true friends and the brothers and sisters and Lord that I look back from when I was a child. And then you fast forward all these years. And by the way, hello, Ariana. She texted me and said, me and Dad are watching. You didn't mention us. But this next part is... Craig, I know you're watching, and I know he would say that since Pastor A had highlighted Will this morning. I remember when we first came to this church way back in the day at the Best Western that, now I'm going to try not to cry, that Will had called my husband Grasshopper. And I didn't know what that meant. I'm thinking, okay, he has a nickname for Craig. And I'm like, I felt kind of left out, so he called me Grasshopperette. But he came to me later and was saying, do you know what that means, Rita? And I said, what? It's like calling someone's son. And I just remember how sweet that was those years ago and how I knew, and Craig would agree 100% because we've talked about it, how he needed that and that he had someone that was calling him son or grasshopper. So thank you so much, Will, all that you mean to our family in doing that. But I know all of you are thinking of people this morning that you are blessed with, so we just thank God for that this morning. And really, I'm supposed to be up here for announcements, so I'm sorry. I'll get to it. All right, just want a few reminders. Just one verse Bible studies are Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here. And then Circle 23 Men's Breakfast, Saturday, February 11th at 9 a.m. So mark your calendars for that, all the men. And then Intercultural Day, as Pastor had mentioned, that is going to be February 12th, Sunday. So you'll wear the attire that represents your culture. Or as he said, I believe last Sunday, if there's a specific culture that you just really love and you want to honor that. And then last, our Presence Valentine's Fellowship. It's going to be Wednesday, February 15th. That's at 7 p.m. right here. Please come and join. There's going to be food and activities, fun. And lots of love for the whole family, and I know we all enjoy fellowship in here, so don't forget that Wednesday. God bless you.
One, two. Mama Essie was asking me what movie that was. I don't know if you got it from this movie, The Grasshopper. It's a Karate Kid. I mentioned another thing that I mentioned in the State of the Church is that we're going to do more fellowships.
okay? More fellowships. And so Valentine's week gives us the opportunity to do that. So at Wednesday, the 15th, we will not be doing the Just One Verse Bible study. We're going to come here, fellowship hall, hang out, have some games. We could maybe show a movie or something. We don't know exactly. I have staff meeting after this, right after service, so we'll iron all that out. But I want you to come. We'll have something for you to eat and drink or whatever. It'll be good, all right? Now, this coming Wednesday will be our Just One Verse Bible study, so come for that. All right, I also need to mention that Hide the Word memory verse for February is John 13, verses 34 and 35, right, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you. I mentioned that today in the message. So those are the two verses that we're challenging you to memorize in the month of February. All right? I think that's it. Are you ready to go conquer, be more than conquerors in the world? Are you sure? All right. Hallelujah. Let's stand on your feet. Thank you again, those of you joining us live stream and on our Facebook page. It's been a great day in the presence of God. Look at somebody one more time and ask them, who's holding your rope? Who's holding your rope? Lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. Also wanted to mention my grandson Noah's in the house. All right. God bless you.